My guest today is Jay Tower. Jay, how are you?
Good. How are you, David?
I'm doing great. I'm having fun here at the Chicago Code Camp. How about you?
Awesome. Second year in a row. Love this event.
You gave a talk this morning, right?
I did, yes.
On what?
My talk today was about communication skills for engineers.
I'm not following you.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
A joke. I am following. What's communications for like engineer to engineer communication or engineer to mere mortals communication?
So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, the For Dummies book series, you know, okay. That was kind of the thought behind that, yeah.
All right. What do engineers need to know about communication?
Well, so, you know, engineers, as I'm sure you've experienced in your career, have a certain general bent to themselves. A lot of us are left brain thinkers. A lot of us are very analytical.
Okay. Left brain is the logical side,
that's
right?
The logical side.
So they might not have awesome social skills like you and I do.
That's right. Not everyone can be as cool as us. So because you've got a group of people who are so similar to each other in many ways, a lot of times some inefficiencies can develop in that as far as communication goes. So,
give me an example.
Well, so for example, emotional intelligence versus intellectual intelligence.
Okay.
In engineers, I think there's a lot more focus on the intellectual side of things.
Okay.
And a lot of times, a lot of emotional cues, sitting in like this.
They might
miss that body language.
Hmm.
And more importantly, I think, as an engineer, as each of us is an engineer ourselves, I think not only missing those cues in other people, but maybe mistakenly giving the wrong cues ourselves. Yeah. So things like non-verbals.
I actually have a story about that. Last night, I was recording an interview, just like this one, and I watched it this morning. I copied it to my hard drive and watched about 5 minutes of it, and I realized that there was a table to my left. There was nothing in between us, and I was sort of resting my arm on this table, and my whole body language is wrong. I was sitting facing away from the person. I feel embarrassed now. I want to talk to that guy and say, I probably was sending out the wrong signals.
There's definitely times, you know, like some people might maybe have a belly or something, and they might cross their arms as just a way that's comfortable.
Sure.
And they don't mean to communicate a closeness, but it does anyway.
It was obvious to me as soon as I watched the video, but it wasn't at all obvious while I was doing
it. There's little silly things that we can all do like that that are unintentional maybe.
Maybe calling attention to it, that's educating people about what they're doing would help. All right. Yeah, keep going. Sorry, I've interrupted. I just want to tell a story.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. I appreciate that. So nonverbal cues was one of the things that we talked about. There's a lot of other things. One of the things I thought was the most interesting doing the research to prepare the talk was I tried to talk a little bit about communication to minority groups. So in our industry, women are obviously a minority group. And, you know, a lot of people are working on that. But as long as it stays true, there's going to be a lot of unintentional miscommunication that happens between the majority, which is mostly men, and women. And so of course, it's always very dangerous as the white man at the front of the room to make generalizations.
Sure.
But I tried to just kind of point out some things, put some tools in everybody's tool belt so that you'd be more in tune to those things. And then another one is I'm sure we've both known a lot of people over the years that are on the spectrum, the autism Asperger spectrum.
I'm learning recently that there are a lot of people that I didn't realize that are.
Yeah, and I think once you start to see those patterns, of course, you don't want to get into a habit of diagnosing everybody you see with different things, but once you start meeting people and realizing that there are certain people you know that might be on the spectrum or certain people you know tell you they are, it can be really helpful to have a set of
that's
tools.
That's what's happening. People are less shy about telling me.
I think it's a lot less stigmatized than it has been in the past. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people on the spectrum in engineering specifically.
Because introverts can thrive in this industry. You don't have to.
Yeah. The traits of someone on the spectrum are, a lot of them are benefits in engineering.
Long-term focus, I mean, without blocking out the outside world. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So if I know somebody who's on the autism spectrum, how would that help me?
Yeah, so a few of the tips that I just mentioned are fairly basic things. If you know anyone with autism, you're probably already fairly aware of these things. But unexpected touches, you know.
That's bad.
It makes someone on the spectrum very uncomfortable, especially unexpected. But touching in general is a little bit less comfortable for them.
Okay, I actually did not know that.
Eye contact is another one. They'll have a lot less eye contact than someone in the more general population would.
Okay, so it's more about accepting that as opposed to it's not bad to have eye contact or to attempt eye contact.
Yeah, exactly. And I talked about, in other parts of the talk, I talked about how important eye contact is if you can work on that, regardless of your own background, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that's something nobody taught me that as a kid. I learned that as an adult.
Yep. There's a lot of cues like that.
I don't know if people are born knowing that eye contact is important.
Right. I talked about how when you're on the phone, that you can't nod, and have the other person see that.
Right.
That you're listening or paying attention or enjoying what they're saying and participating. And so that yes and mm-hmm and oh, okay, type of comments that you can just throw in without interrupting the other person.
I see.
Become sort of a verbal nod, if you will, mm-hmm. on the phone. Yeah, that's I caught that.
Cool. What else?
Let's see. What else did we talk about? We talked about what I consider sort of the hierarchy of different communication media. So, for example, face-to-face communication like this.
Okay.
Being sort of at the top of the pyramid, the most rich communication. There's a lot of nonverbal communication going on.
You can see, you can even touch if you.
Our brains evolved, to communicate with each other face to face. The handshake is a way of saying old-fashioned way of saying I don't have a weapon in my dominant hand, mm-hmm. And so that face to face communication is you can't overcome that fact that our brains are made to do that.
Okay.
And anytime you separate yourself from that. Phone, email, SMS, whatever it is, you're giving up a lot of what your brain is kind of used to as part of the whole richness of communication.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I've noticed that I'll read an email and I tend to read things in it that may or may not be in there. It's hard to know what
there's
the
a lot of filling in of blanks that happens that may or may not have been intended by the mm-hmm. sender. And so we talked about how there's sort of that hierarchy and to prefer the more rich communication media over the other ones whenever you can.
Yeah, it's not always possible, especially in our connected world.
Yeah, my team that I work with is distributed all over the world, and so obviously face-to-face is a luxury for us.
Uh-huh. So how do you deal with that? How do you overcome that?
So it's a small thing, but online meetings with video, surprisingly, makes a huge difference over just a disembodied voice, a phone call type of a conversation. Actually being able to see each other, especially if it's a group conversation, being able to see the way different people in the group react, kind of how their personality comes out in the way that they move their bodies, is a way that you can really get to know somebody a lot better than you would if you were just talking disembodied voices all the
sure.
time.
Your team's all over the world. Did you talk anything about the cultural differences in communication?
I did, yeah. So when we were talking about kind of the diversity topic, mm-hmm. we talked about how you may be dealing with a team that's either from different countries because they're still in different countries, or maybe just from different countries because America is a melting pot.
Yep.
And that a lot of miscommunication comes out of different people having different mores and norms that they
sure.
grew up with that other people didn't. And, you might say something a certain way that would be totally normal in your family. Mm. That would offend me because it would be unusual in my family or the way I grew up.
Sure.
And we talked about being curious before taking offense as sort of a strategy to deal with that.
Being curious and like, what do you mean by that?
Why did you say it that way? Why did you do it that way? What in your background can I learn about that would help me understand that better? So it's kind of that Stephen Covey thing, the seek to understand before seeking to be understood.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Some of it is just... people like you and I are both white males from the upper Midwest, I think,
right.
and yet we still have we still have different we have different families, and so we grew up with different some different values and different communication models.
Even but brothers and sisters sometimes.
Absolutely, But then now we're in this world where we're talking to people from India, for example.
Yeah,
it's really common in the IT world.
Yeah,
and the one thing I've noticed, I just learned this recently, is that when they're listening, they don't quite do this, but they turn their head side to side.
Yes.
Is that this is how it goes, right?
Yeah.
And that just sort of means they're listening.
Yep.
But it means no in our culture.
Right.
It means I am disagreeing with you. It's a totally different nonverbal signal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took me a long time to learn that.
You and I got to know each other at a conference in Eastern Europe.
I'm going back.
Yes, where they shake their head like this for yes and like this for no. So
yeah, exactly.
That really threw me off.
Excellent. Anything we missed?
No, I think that covers the bases.
Good stuff. Are you? This is a new talk. I haven't heard you mention this.
Yeah, this
before.
Is the first time I did it today.
Oh, so how did it go?
I thought it went great.
Excellent. Is you heard a lot of nonverbal communication from the audience?
Yes, that's
a lot
right.
of cues coming back.
A funny thing happened at the end. I was packing up, and And someone came up to talk to me, and we talked for about 15 minutes, and then I started packing up again while we were talking. And he said, I can read from your nonverbal communications that you're ready to go.
Yeah, well, there's probably not a speaker coming in behind that's going
to
hover over you in a nonverbal way.
I was trying to get out of the way, yeah, exactly.
Are you going to give it again, this talk?
I hope so, yeah. If it's accepted anywhere, I would love to.
Before we go, tell folks about the conference that you're running. This show will probably be released right about that same time.
Okay, yeah. So if this is released before June 9th and 10th, we've got a conference mostly on June 10th in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which, as you know, is known as the microbrewery capital of the U.S.
I like that.
Yes. So we, of course, have called it Beer City Code. And it's a polyglot conference for all kinds of different development topics. John Galloway from Microsoft is going to be coming and doing the keynote.
Yeah. Really sharp guy.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. So people can sign up and find us on beercitycode.com.
Jay, thanks a lot.
Nice to see you, Dave. I love making new friends at events like this around technology.